John 16. And then 1 John 5. You know, I while you're turning there, I just share a little bit. I always think back to when I got saved and some of the things that I went through. And how many of you know when you get saved, there's kind of what you might call a learning curve? You know, there's some things that are different. And you come out of the world, and I got saved, and all of a sudden I'm in a Pentecostal church. And it's like, this is different. And these people are different. And, you know, so you're trying to, you know, I knew that God had done something in my life, but I'm trying to kind of catch up to what's going on here, you know, and what this is all about. And every once in a while, you know, in those first time of being saved, maybe first even few years, sometimes I'd hear someone say something like to me, "You're worldly, you know? Don't be a worldly Christian." And I'd say, "All right, I won't." But I didn't know what that meant. What does that mean? Worldly. And so people used to kind of, you know, say that and call somebody that. How many of you heard that before? You know, don't be worldly. Well, years and years went by before I began to figure out what that meant. And I didn't understand what the problem was. And when I'd read verses you know, friendship with the world is enmity with God, and things like that, you know, that are pretty strong statements that we hear of, you know, an attitude, I guess we would say God's attitude towards this world. And so tonight I wanted to minister along these lines a little bit, and some of it is a little bit of what I've touched on in the Sunday school the last couple of weeks, but you know, it's been on my heart, and I wanted to touch on that a little bit in here tonight. Let me read these couple of verses in John 16. Jesus said in verse 33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Praise God. And then in 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 4, John says, "And whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Amen. And so, you know, like I said, for a long time, I it was hard for me to sort this out and what this is talking about, and that may be the case for you here as well tonight. So I will lay a little bit of groundwork of this thought of the world. The world, the word cosmos comes, is used in many of the places in the Word of God where that word world is used. And so that word cosmos means the whole order and arrangement of the universe. It's kind of a definition of it, of what it means. The whole order and arrangement of the universe. And so when we're talking about the world, it's not talking about the people. Because we know that the Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, right? That's the people that God loves for, or died for and loves. But this world system, the order and arrangement of this universe as it stands now, is under the control of the devil and is opposed to God, opposed to Jesus, hates Jesus with a passion, and hates you and me because we're with Jesus. Amen. And so that's what we're talking about tonight. And so when we read a verse like this where Jesus is saying, "Hey, I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world." You know, at first thought, it's like, well, why, Lord? It's because the whole order and arrangement of this universe is opposed to him, is contrary to the things of God, and it is under the control of the devil. That's why we read where the devil is the god of this age or the god of this world. That word overcome that Jesus used means to conquer. to conquer. So basically he's saying, I have conquered this world. I've conquered it. It's a military hostile term that he's saying. He's saying, I've overcome, I've conquered this world. And we, you and me, those that are saved, overcome the world simply because our faith in Jesus and what he did to overcome the world. And so we need to see that, this world, it's not hard to see that it's a dark, wicked, evil place that we live in here. And it's not favorable to Christianity and to the gospel. It doesn't want us here. It doesn't want to hear the message of salvation. And of course, thank God, people can get saved at any moment, any day, and do what? Come out of that world. Come out. That's why the Bible says, come out from among them. Let me read that verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. I think there it goes. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you're the temple of God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God. They will be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I'll be a father to you. You shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Come out from among them. Come out from among them. Our salvation, our place in God's kingdom of being received by the Lord is dependent on a separation from this world. A separation. God has always separated his people. He's always from, you can go back to Abraham. What did he say to Abraham? Abraham, get out of there. Go somewhere else. Amen. Where I can work with you. Get out of there. Get out of there. All throughout the Old Testament, the people of Israel, God set up boundaries. He said, hey, don't marry their kids and don't let them marry yours. Separation. Keep some separation. Keep some boundaries. And don't throw up the love thing. It has nothing to do with God love them or not. Amen. It's the system of the world that controls the mind of unsaved people, influences and controls. It is an antichrist spirit that is all around us in this world today. That is the spirit of this age, is an antichrist spirit. And it's all around us. We see it bombarded by it 24/7 through media, through the TV, through music, in our schools, bombarding the minds of our children. It's all around us everywhere you go. It is an antichrist spirit. That is the prevailing dominant spirit of this age, of this world that we live in, is an antichrist spirit. It's opposed. It's opposed to Jesus at every turn. Bible speaks of a mystery of iniquity that is at work. In 2 Thessalonians, I'm not going to turn there, but a mystery of iniquity that's at work in this world. And it's referred to as a mystery because it has not fully manifested and been revealed. A mystery of iniquity at work, and it's always been at work. That's that antichrist spirit. It's always been an underlying current and influence in every area of society, every government of the world, every bit of academia and media and so on. This mystery of iniquity or lawlessness is at work in all areas around us. But the Bible says there's coming a day where the mystery of lawlessness will turn into the man of lawlessness. And that's the consummation, the culmination of that no more that mystery. It'll be a blatant, outright, in-your-face opposition to God. No more mystery about it. It's right there. And that is rising. That's rising to the surface right now as we speak in this day and age. And the hatred for Christianity in this world is beginning to come to a boiling point. Not just Christianity, but the Jews as well. This hatred towards, and you know what? I save a lot of articles, and I save a lot of illustrations, and I save a lot of things. And I thought, man, I'm going to do a slideshow. But man, I'd run out of time. That's all we do is see slides of different laws being proposed, different things coming up, all of the anti-Israel stuff around the world that you see, that there's countries punishing the people and passing laws banning them for doing business with Israel. Things like that. California proposed a ban on the Bible. It didn't pass, but hey, guess what they're doing? They're just testing the water. They're just testing the water, see how far they can push it. So all of this stuff is coming to a boiling around us of just a fervent hatred for God, for Jesus especially, and for the people of God. And so we need to see that God's call, his command for us to separate ourselves, to come out from that, is essential. Come out from among that thing. Separate yourself. I just have a picture of it in my mind. It's the simplest way I know to illustrate it. I just picture a line, and here's God on one side, and there's the world on the other, and he's calling, saying, come over here. Come over here. Come out of that. Come out of that thing. Come out of that wicked, evil thing. Get over here where it's safe. Amen. The only place that's safe is with Jesus. And he's calling people. He's calling. Come out from among that. Why? Because this world will be judged. It'll be judged severely. It'll be judged harshly. Now, God's mercy has endured for centuries and centuries, and he's continued to extend that call. He's continued to extend his hand of mercy and grace, saying, come out, come out, come out of it. But you know what? One day, it'll turn. It'll turn. It'll be a time of an outpouring of wrath upon this world, and you don't have to be enduring it. Amen. You don't have to go through it. You see, we're identified with Jesus. We're identified with him. When you're saved, guess what the devil sees? He sees Jesus in you and me. Amen. That's what he sees. He sees you as a threat. He sees you as someone with a gospel message to save multitudes. He sees you with an anointing to go and cast out devils, amen, and lay hands on the sick and see people saved. And someone who may get on their knees from time to time and call out to God and pray and shake hell. That's a threat to the devil. And so it's destroy you and me at any cost. Silence you and me at any cost. Intimidate us at any cost. Maybe some have gotten by, you know, kind of floating around a little bit here and there into church, a little bit back into the world. And you know what? I personally believe there ain't going to be no more of that here, not before very long. Amen. Amen. You will choose a side, and it'll be clear. It'll be clear. Amen. No more bebopping and floating in and out and this and that. I think it's coming, and I think it's going to be clear. It's going to be clear. Choose a side. Get in or get out. Amen. And this world, even God, I think, is forcing the issue because we're identified with Christ. We're identified. What I mean is we represent him. We represent him in this world. We're the light in this world, in a dark place. We're the light. We represent him. We carry his message. And this world does not want that. Now, I know individuals, praise God, they are getting saved. They are saying, yes, I want that, and they're coming out of that. Thank God. And anybody, anywhere in the world, at any time, can say, Jesus, save me. Amen. All who call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. But this system is turning up the heat on the people of God. 1 Peter 4:14 says, if you're reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of God, of glory and of God, rests upon you. On their part, he's blasphemed, but on your part, he's glorified. Acts 5:41 This is after they had gotten arrested and whipped and thrown in prison and whatnot. And it says, so they departed from the presence of council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. I don't know that I'm there, but praise God. That's their attitude. That's how they felt about it, because they saw it differently. They saw it differently. You know, I'd be bummed. I'd be like, man, you know, thank God I got beat. But hey, you know, it'd be a bummer. I'll tell you, I'd feel kind of bad for a while. But hey, you know, I have to step back and see the bigger picture of things. God's seeing glory in it, because of the reason they did it is Jesus is in you. Jesus is in me. That's why he sees glory. That's why he says, well, you're glorified in it. There's something glory. Amen. I'd see it differently than God. Amen. But God sees it as glory upon his people. Glory. You see, we see this hostility between the world and between God all throughout history, basically from the fall on. This hostility, this animosity, enmity, the Bible calls it, which means basically a hatred or a position of being an enemy, an enemy. That's the attitude. That's what surrounds us all the time. That's what we hear so often in so much of the mockery, so much of the criticism, so much of the discrimination that comes towards the people of God. Amen. See, there's all kinds of discrimination in the world, and there always has been. But you know what'll be first and foremost in the days ahead is discrimination against the people of God. Amen. Discrimination. Because in the big picture of things, there's only two kinds of people in this world, saved and unsaved. And that's it. You can throw everything else out. It does not matter. It means nothing. There are saved and there are unsaved, and that's it. To be identified with Christ means we bear a reproach. We bear a reproach that he bore, which you know what, of all the things that Jesus endured, and we can talk forever about all that he endured, but one of the things that he endured that we also will carry is rejection. Rejection. We're not going to go to the cross. We're not going to be, you know, our stripes aren't going to heal anybody. But one of the things that we will bear just like he bore and that he intends for us to bear is the rejection he endured from this world. The Bible says he came to his own and his own did not receive him. I think that was heartbreaking to him. That he came to his own, the people that he had loved, the people that he separated for centuries and worked with and worked with. And he finally, here's the king, and they rejected him. That had to hurt. That had to be heartbreaking. But you know what? That same rejection, which carries with it all of that persecution, that mockery, all of those type of things, we bear too. Amen. We're called to bear it. We're called to bear it. That's why they can say, you know what, I the Apostle Paul can say, I rejoiced in the afflictions. Because he could see that I'm identified with Jesus. I'm identified with Jesus. Amen. See, there's a hostility. Again, like I said, that's been always in the world. There's a major conflict brewing. Amen. There is a major conflict on the brew. It's the second coming of Christ. You know what? If you have an image of the second coming of the Lord as you know, here's this glowing, you know, big giant 100-foot tall Jesus, and he's glowing, and he comes down to the earth, and it's just, you know, it's all glowing. And everybody says, yay, Jesus is here. That's not it. That's not it. That's not the picture the Bible gives us. Amen. The picture the Bible gives us is that the second coming of Christ is a hostile invasion of planet Earth. That's the picture. The multitude of scriptures point is a king that's returning with an army. It's a hostile invasion of planet Earth. And the people of the earth, the Bible says, are not happy about it. They are not happy about it. They do not want this Jesus coming back. If they could crucify him again, they would. If they could kill him. In fact, the Bible says that the Antichrist turns his armies to fight against Jesus. Amen. How many of you know you can be there that day? I have plans to be there. I've made my reservations. Amen. I'm going to be behind him. Hallelujah. I'm going to be there. When I read that, I say, I'm going to be there that day, and I'm going to see it. But this is the picture that the Bible gives us regarding the second coming of Christ. Why, it doesn't mean that he doesn't love people. It doesn't mean that at all. And I'm not proposing that he doesn't love people. It gives us a picture of the world that we live in. It gives us a picture that we are not citizens of this world. Amen. That we've come out. We've separated ourselves unto him. We've separated ourselves. And as you get saved, as you begin to grow in the Lord, you begin to get uncomfortable in this world. You live here, you work here, we minister here. But you know what? It's just not all that comfortable. Amen. The Bible says the world is passing away. It's passing away. So if, you know what? You need to examine yourself right here tonight in this place. And you think of the things of the world. You think of all the things that the world does, their agenda, their philosophies. You have what's called a secular worldview, and you have what's called a biblical worldview. And they could not be further apart. The world has one idea of all these things. And when you go to school, young people, they cram it down your throat with a plunger. Amen. But then there's a biblical worldview of what the Bible says. All kinds of details that God gives us from creation and redemption. How to live life. What's right, what's wrong. The Bible says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. That's all around us every day. Amen. The world calls evil good and good evil. It's all around us every day. And so you and I, you know what? We've got to examine ourselves. And I like to ask the question, am I more comfortable in a bar or in church? Where do I feel more comfortable? You know, am I more comfortable hanging out with those that curse God and are vile and filthy? Or am I more comfortable hanging around with people that love God? Amen. That tell you a lot right there. Amen. It'll tell you a lot about yourself, about your soul, about your salvation, of where you're at. You know? We're around people. Sometimes it's in our house. It's in our own home we're around the heathen. And it's sad and it's difficult. It's hard, I know. Or maybe at work. Or maybe at school. Where you're around people that, you know what, it's just darkness. It's just one flow of wickedness and filthiness and all that after another. You should be vexed. You should be very vexed. Amen. You should turn around and vex them a little bit. With some preaching, amen. No, I just, you know, with them getting saved, praise God. I like to say, you know, I just scraped some of that off my shoes. Amen, that's pretty filthy. So ask yourself, is the victory of Jesus conquering this world, overcoming this world, defeating this world system to where one day, the Bible says in Revelation 11:15, then the seventh angel sounded. This is in regard to the second coming of Christ. There were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amen. That is a return. That's a hostile takeover. That's Jesus coming back saying, I am now taking over the rulership of these kingdoms. Amen. No more wickedness. No more evil. You ever notice that the dictators, if you know anything about history, the dictators over the centuries have been some of the most wicked, vile, insane people that have ever lived. But one day, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord. Amen. He will come. He will take over. He will set up his kingdom here. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I got way out of order, but Evan's right on it. Amen. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he'll deny us. Leave this one up here for a second. If we endure, we shall reign with him. So all that I was talking about a little while ago, all of that we bear, the reproach of Christ that we bear. You know what? We endure. We endure the hostility of a dark, wicked, hostile, evil world that's all around us. Endure the persecution. And I understand it's way worse in other parts of the world. But as a whole, over the centuries, there have been martyrs, 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 martyrs. All throughout the centuries. The list is long of the incidences of persecution of Christians and of Jews all throughout history. And so we endure a lot. You might walk out of this door tonight and endure something. You might endure your family not wanting you around anymore because you got saved. You might endure the loss of all your friends and say, you know what, like I've heard before, you were cooler before. You know, we liked you before. You might endure all kinds of things. You might endure the hatred of people you're trying to love. You're trying to love them, but they despise you. You might endure all kinds of persecution. You might endure worse. You might endure what Henry Trujillo endured, nearly getting beat to death for sharing the gospel years ago. You might endure all kinds of things, but we will reign with him. We endure today. We reign tomorrow. Amen. That's the promise of the Lord. We endure today in the midst of a dark and evil world while we are light shining. We're extending the gospel. We're bringing a message of hope. We want to see people get saved, but it's a hostile place. It's a dark, evil place. And I thank God that there's people that want that and are just there ready to take it. Every day, thank God for it. But you know what? There come a day where some call it the great reversal. Amen. It's when Jesus returns and he says, hey, those that endured for my name's sake, you reign with me now. I'm looking forward to that. That's wonderful. That's why the Apostle Paul could say all of these things, nothing, all the things that he's endured, nothing compares with the glory to be revealed. Amen. So tonight, I believe that there's a decision for some people. And I believe that maybe a reconfirming and a realizing of something for others, that to stand for Jesus will cost something. It'll cost something. I don't want anyone to get thrown in prison or beat up or lose a job. I don't want it. But it's probably going to happen to some degree. And it's not getting better. It's getting worse. Amen. And I just got to move on because I got all these instances and stories and examples of things that in the United States of America, you can expect it over in the Middle East, but in our country, laws being proposed, laws being driven, changes being driven. And it's sad, but it needs to give us a clue here. Give us a clue. It's time to come out. Come out. Make sure what side you're on. Make sure what side you're on. Don't be afraid to stand for Jesus. Don't be afraid. You know what? You can be nice and sweet and kind, and you're still marked. You're still marked. Amen. And don't let it intimidate us. Don't let it intimidate us. Because we endure today, we reign tomorrow. Amen. How many of you, you're with me? Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads tonight, if we could, for a minute. Praise God. Being worldly maybe could be defined as loving this world, loving the things of this world more than God. Having your hope in this world instead of your hope in Jesus. Wanting to be accepted by this world. Some people do whatever they can to conform, to fit in, to be accepted in crowds and groups, to be identified. And you know what? They want to fit in. They get saved, but they don't want to lose those old friends. They don't want to lose that former identity. So you know what? I'm not going to change. I'm still going to dress this way. I'm still going to talk this way. Still, because I still want to be accepted. I want to fit in. You know, when I get to church, I'll talk like the church. When I get back to the world, I'll talk. No, it doesn't work that way. Change into the image of Christ. Change. Separate yourself. Can't have both. You cannot have both. I'm choosing Jesus. That's where I want to be. I'm choosing Him. How many all across this place? Maybe you've never been saved, but you lift your hand and you say, you know what? I want Jesus too. I wanted Jesus. Just slip up your hand. Put it up here this evening. God bless you. God bless you. I see these hands. Others join these. Say, I need it. I need His forgiveness. I know He loves me. He loves me. He does care for you. He does have a plan. Thank God for it. Others, just slip up your hand. Put it up, put it down. Praise God. God bless you tonight. Praise God. Maybe you've gotten saved, but you've gone through a period of time where you know what? You just wrestle. You're not sure. Why is this different? Things are different. Things have changed. And you want to be accepted in the old, but you want to be accepted in the new. It just doesn't work that way. You don't have to tell everybody, I don't ever want to hear from you again. You don't have to tell them that. You don't have to say, I don't ever want to see you again. You know what? All you have to do is say, you know what? I got saved. And I'd like to share that gospel with you if I could. They'll either receive it or they'll reject it. Maybe they'll receive it down the road. But that's a separation that's made. That's a separation that takes place. You've just gone on record. You've identified, say, with Jesus. Not about the church. Jesus. Others, slip up your hand. Put it up. Put it back down. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Yes. If you're feeling that, if you're going through that, if there's even been some opposition and you're like, I don't know why. Trust me, it's normal. It's normal. It's to be expected. It's to be expected. Don't worry. If God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world, the Bible says. It doesn't mean for a second God doesn't love these people. It just means that this system hates Him. So tonight, you know, we're going to open these altars before we dismiss. We're going to take a moment, sing a song, and just invite you, if you raised your hand, even if you didn't, take a moment, step up out of your seat. Let's find a place to pray at this altar. If God's dealing with you about a separation, about coming out of this world and identifying with Him confidently, boldly, let's take that tonight.